Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Philip.
Thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Well, firstly, why do you think alcohol is such an issue for the Northern Territory as opposed to other Australian states? Does it have comparatively inadequate regulation curtailing the issue?
There's a lot in what you've just asked there. I think the short answer is ENT is somewhat of a special case. I don't think anyone in Australia wouldn't be aware of some of the tragic implications of so much alcohol washing around in the NT. I think the disappointing thing over the years has been the kind of lack of insight from Territorians at a general level about the impact that alcohol has had on their, or is having on their communities. This is not just an issue about, you know, remote communities in the NT or urban communities in Darwin or Alice or Catherine or Tennant Creek. This is a problem that is widespread across both the black and the European communities in the NT. And, you know, we've seen governments take action or intervene in different ways about in response to different types of issues, you know, notably the issue of child abuse during the later part of the Howard government. But at the core of all of these problems is really alcohol, and I think that that is a recognition or something that's been understood by the Gunner government, and some of the things that they've already done to address that issue kind of give hope that the sorts of submissions that we have made to this review led by former Supreme Court Judge Trevor Riley might actually get adopted, and we might actually begin to take a rational approach to controlling alcohol and therefore reduce the impact on the lives of Territorians, because the impact is significant. As you said, if the NT was a country, it would be in the top 10 per capita consumers, and that's not exactly a reputation I think that you would want this in this day and age.
Well, looking at sort of curtailing some of these issues, one of the proposals is, you know, a big one, elevating the drinking age to 21. Now, among those statistics, one of them is that aged over 12, more than a third of Territorians consume alcohol at rates that place them in risk of harm. With that in mind, it doesn't seem like potentially supply for underage drinkers is, you know, the big issue here. Why has elevating the drinking age been put at the front of this, and will it work?
Well, firstly, it's not a proposal that FAIR has advanced. That's by one of the medical colleges that proposed that, but let me kind of address why they might have done it. There has been research in the United States where the drinking age was raised from 18 to 21, or the legal age of purchase of alcohol, from 18 to 21 through the 1980s, and it did have an impact on reducing rates of alcohol harm, including reducing traffic fatalities, reducing incidents of violent assault. So there's some evidence to point to that kind of population-wide measure having a positive impact on communities. And I think that this is a kind of a critical part of alcohol control, that we need to be looking at the population at large and not at individuals' drinking behaviours, because what we know is that if you take these sort of across-community measures, you will have an impact on that that community, but you can't necessarily point to who is going to, you know, lives going to be saved or a child abuse incident avoided, etc. You've just got to take it on trust that, generally speaking, if you reduce the supply of alcohol, you will reduce the impact of it on the community and lives will be saved. So I think that increasing the drinking age, put it that generally, there are all sorts of iterations of what that actually means. But as a general rule, as a policy intervention, it will have a positive impact on the community. But I note some of the things, what you're hinting at, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily mean that a group of 16-year-olds in a particular community are not going to be able to access alcohol and get themselves into trouble.
Well, I mean, alongside the elevating the drinking age, the Foundation for Alcohol Research and Education made numerous recommendations to the report as well for other things, including prohibiting shopping dock at alcohol promotions, banning extreme alcohol discounts. Can you expand a bit more on some of the other advice, or on some of that advice which your organisation did issue?
Well, front and centre of our submission to the review is that we need to confront the issue of the economic and physical availability of alcohol, because we know from research around the world over the last 50 years that more alcohol means more harm. And so the opposite applies. If you can reduce the availability of alcohol, you will actually reduce the impact, the negative impact of alcohol. And the kind of policies that governments can have recourse to, the two big ones are really around the price of alcohol and then its physical availability, either through the number of outlets that you can purchase, or their trading hours, or the sorts of products that they might sell. So on the price front, as we've noted in our report, alcohol has become a lot more affordable over the last 20 years in the NT. That's mainly because of the way wine is taxed in this country. And it means that people can purchase more alcohol for the same, you know, the dollars that they had years ago, more alcohol. So one way of fixing that, the Commonwealth government has singly failed to address this tax problem, is to impose a floor price on alcohol. Now, around the territory, there are some de facto kind of floor price measures in place. For instance, the ban on the sale of cask wine, for instance, in many communities, is an effective floor price provision. And so we're arguing that if you install a floor price, what that will do is target the heaviest drinkers and those that are consuming and that cheap booze frequently. We know that that contributes significantly to the problems. On the physical availability, there's obviously been a number of issues around that around the country, and public health organisations like Beer, for instance, have been arguing for shorter trading hours, both for on-licensed and off-licensed premises. Because again, we know that if businesses are operating for longer, people will purchase more alcohol and they will consume it. And we also know that if you promote alcohol in different sorts of ways, certainly things such as two-for-one deals, for instance, people don't buy the two and put one away. By and large, what they do is they might have gone into a store to buy one, I've seen this deal, purchase two, they tend to drink both of them, and more alcohol means more harm. So that's the rationale for why we are proposing those sorts of restrictions on the physical availability of alcohol.
If you've just tuned into The Daily here on 2SER, we're speaking right now with Michael Thorne, the Chief Executive of the Foundation for Alcohol Research and Education, about recommendations which are being made to amend drinking issues or alcohol consumption issues seen in the Northern Territory. Now, one of the suggestions which FAIR did put forward involved banning political donations from the alcohol industry. beg your pardon. Whilst implementing this ban would eradicate some unethical conduct, would it actually bring the drinking level down? What's the prime concern here?
Look, I think the Northern Territory is a prime example of how vested interests can influence the political processes to their advantage. Certainly under the previous government, the alcohol industry had such significant impact on government policy that the administration of liquor in in the Northern Territory became a national joke. But essentially, the Liquor Act was ignored in the administration. It became politicised, the administration, the approval of licences, all to the benefit of the purveyors of alcohol. We need to protect our political institutions from this sort of vested interest. And like New South Wales, as is the case in New South Wales, we believe there's a very strong case for political donations to be outlawed in the territory, and in other jurisdictions for that matter. Frankly,
Well. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Michael, to unpack this. It is a massive issue, and any steps are better than no steps. It seems like there's been a lot of thought going into combating this. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Philip. Cheers.